Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. If you're not already connected with us on our various social media outlets, we invite you to do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. Today we're speaking with Mr. Johan Jacob, the president and founder of Retail Bound, a retail solutions agency that helps innovative product brands scale in retail. Mr. Jacob, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks, Eric. Good to be here.
Yes, sir. Good to have you with us and looking forward to learning a few things from you today as well. Now, how are retailers that you work with faring in this global pandemic? That's the first question. And secondly, would you advise product entrepreneurs to sell to retailers in this current environment?
That's a great question, Eric. Great questions. So obviously, retailers were definitely caught off guard this past spring, right? Who would have known that this global pandemic would shut down literally almost every retailer, here in the United States and the world? Every retailer had to adjust their business strategy on the fly, like Best Buy. Now, their stores were closed from March to early June. However, due to their strategy, they retained about 80% of their sales volume by doing different things like beefing up their online assortments, doing curbside pickup, doing in-store sales appointments. For the most part, Eric, retailers had a strong omnichannel strategy like mobile and web did well during COVID. I would say that for product entrepreneurs who want to sell in this current environment, some opportunities out there, especially if you have products, Eric, that help people work or study from home, cook at home, play at home, or even work out at home. So I think, for young brands who want to work at retailers, especially during COVID, I think it's a good time, especially for .com. As it's less of a risk for brands go online versus in store.
Yeah, you certainly made some great points there to lead things off here today, and appreciate your perspective as well. Now, as a product entrepreneur interested in working with retailers in this new normal, what should one be doing to get prepared for all this?
Good question there. So, a couple of things I would say probably a three-step strategy. One is develop your retail go-to-market strategy. Who are the right retailers to target for your brand? Like Williams-Sonoma, is that better than Walmart? How about Best Buy versus HSN? I think especially now with COVID, you want to find the right retailer to work with. Some retailers aren't faring that well, like a Sears or a Neiman Marcus. So those are probably the right retailers to focus on, where retailers like Amazon or Home Depot are doing very well during the COVID time period. Another thing you want to do, Eric, is develop a really good online pricing strategy. Not having a sound pricing strategy causes channel conflict amongst your partners. So if your retail partners are at $19.99, but Amazon's at $14.99, that's going to piss off some of your retail buyers. So it's really important that when working with retailers, you have a sound pricing model that you're all kind of consistent and playing from the same rule book. But more importantly, Eric, you want to develop a really solid retail marketing strategy. Retailers like Best Buy or Home Depot are going to give you a platform to market your product, whether it be in-store or online. And for the most part, brands are good at getting their products featured in these stores or online. But what separates the good brands, Eric, from the bad is their ability to build awareness of their products and where to buy. The goal of any product brand is to really drive traffic to their retail partners. So in turn, they get those repeat POs. So again, I think the three things would be to develop your go-to-market strategy, develop a sound online pricing strategy, and finally develop a retail marketing strategy in working on retail as a new normal.
And once again, thanks for your input on that. Most helpful as well. Now, what is the best path in retail for product entrepreneurs that get started on Amazon on crowdfunded sites like Indiegogo or Kickstarter? Will larger retailers buy from small product entrepreneurs directly? What's your thought on that?
Yeah, definitely. So I think the best path, and we work with a lot of young brands that they launch on Amazon or they use a crowdfunding website to raise some money. They want to get into retail. What we always recommend is start small. We call it the slow burn strategy. You know, you definitely want to go into Walmart. You know, it's 4,000 stores overnight. It's a huge risk, both inventory as well as financial for you, as well as the retailer. So our recommendation for as the best path is to start small. You know, .com. You know, or the grandma.com, Zulily.com, right? Amazon.com, Newegg.com, find some smaller local independent retailers, maybe a catalog retailer. You want to get an established sales system. That's the goal. Large retailers will not buy from unproven or untested brands. They want to understand your sales history, your customer returns, even your customer testimonial. So my recommendation for young brands that want to get into retail, start small, kind of get that the sales going, make sure your supply chain is bulletproof, make sure you get paid from these retailers, Eric, and then once you get these metrics, then go after some bigger fish. As for your other question about, well, larger retailers buy direct from small entrepreneurs, the answer is it depends. For the most part, retailers don't have the time to deal with smaller brands. It's easier to go through a distributor because, again, it takes a lot of effort, Eric, to set up a one SKU vendor, and the vendor has 1,000 SKUs. So typically, retailers will buy from a distributor from smaller brands. While it is likely that some retail will buy from a small brand, most likely large retailers or buy from a distributor directly versus a small brand directly, Eric.
Really appreciate your input and your perspective as well as your knowledge shared with us here today. Most helpful today. We're joined by Johan Jacob, the president and founder at Retail Bound, a retail solutions agency that helps innovative product brands scale in retail. He's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, in your book, Retail Bound, Learn How to Sell Your Products to Retailers, you talk about sell-through. Why is that important for product entrepreneurs to understand?
That's an awesome question, Eric. I think a lot of brands think their goal of success in retail is about sell-in, and that's definitely incorrect. It's about sell-through. As a product brand, you want to work with a retailer and determine what are the correct marketing levers that you can use to build awareness and drive traffic to the retailer. When you drive traffic to a retail, Eric, you increase the chance of a customer buying your product, right? Makes sense. As inventory sells down at the retailer, you get repeat POs. And that should be your goal. The more repeat POs you get, the more likely you'll probably, get expanded shelf space at that retailer someday, and more likely become a long-term vendor partner. So for any small brand that wants to be successful in retail, it's not about sell-in. It's about sell through. Again, those repeat POs. That's the livelihood of any young brand in retail.
Also, Johan, another question for you. If I was interested in selling to retailers but did not have an established relationship with that retailer, should I cold email or cold call a retail buyer? What's your thought on that? And which strategy is better and why in that regard? And what about sending unsolicited samples to a retail buyer?
Sure, definitely. So as a large retail buyer myself for two different billionaire chains, I get so many cold calls. And it's easy to find, which brands were ready to work with you and which ones weren't. And the brands that weren't ready to work with you waste their time, waste my time, and don't get a second chance to make a first impression. And before COVID, we always recommend doing a cold call. The reason why is that, buyers can get so many cold emails. Now we're in COVID. A lot of buyers aren't working at the corporate office. They're working from home. They're working remotely. So it's very challenging to cold call a buyer when no access when really there's no one working at the corporate office. So the better strategy in today's environment right now is the cold email, but being a little more direct and to the point of why you're reaching out to them. Try to find a specific name of a buyer and say, "Dear Sarah or Madame," that might be a good chance to, you know, get a response. A lot of retailers, they know that buyers aren't working at the corporate office, have a new product or new vendor submission portal. You can submit your information about your company, your product, your prices, and you may get a call back or at least an email back from a buyer saying, "Hey, I got your request and want to talk to you a little bit more." As for sending unsolicited samples, again, you know, before COVID, we're always recommended not to do that because, you know, buyers get so many samples and if they didn't request it, definitely not recommend. In today's environment, still don't recommend sending unsolicited samples. Again, the buyer is not working at the corporate office. They're probably working from home. So if you do talk to a buyer, there's interest, then get them to send a sample. Never send a sample without getting requests from a buyer, Eric.
And that is certainly some great advice. I'm sure someone out there really appreciated that and found that most helpful. As we conclude today, any closing thoughts, a tip, or anything else you'd like to mention as we conclude today?
Definitely. So I would say that my favorite tip that has helped me as both as a manufacturer, as a buyer, and as a consultant is make the buyer job easier. What I mean by that, you know, retail buyers, it's the only job in a corporate environment that affects every department at retail. So retail buyers, you know, faced with asset protection, accounts payable, IT, store operations, global sourcing, visual merchandising, marketing, our buying team. It's a very busy job. And if you make my job easier to buyer, by, you know, communicating, send samples at the right time, filling out UM SIP sheets correctly, forecasting, having inventory on hand when available, and then finally, marketing, driving traffic to my stores, I'll definitely reward you as a supplier. I'll definitely give you opportunities, and I guarantee you, if you're not getting my job easier as a supplier, Eric, I guarantee you're accomplishing well. So if there's one tip that I can tell your listeners, they want to be a long-term brand at any retailer here in the U.S., is make the buyer job easier. If you do that, it'll definitely be a long-term supplier for, you know, for any brand out there.
Johan, a pleasure to have had you with us. Thanks so much for sharing your expertise and knowledge and insight with the audience here today. If listeners wanted to reach out or to get more information on Retail Bound, where's the best place online to do so?
It's www.retailbound.com.
And that's about as easy as it gets. Again, Mr. Jacob, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly appreciated your time with us here today.
Great. Thanks, Nick. Have a good day.
And you as well. We've been speaking with Mr. Johan Jacob, the president and founder at Retail Bound, a retail solutions agency that helps innovative product brands scale in retail. And for all the details, visit retailbound.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.